I am so glad that you're here. What we want to do is take a moment right at the outset and just praise God for really Memorial Day weekend. We think about this, but it's just praise God for those people in our country's history that have done the work of providing an opportunity for us to have a country like we have. And then also just have a prayer of grief, of weeping with those who weep, and just thinking about those of Uvalde in that situation there in South Texas, and just praying for those parents. So let's just do this together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we get to have a moment as a nation where we remember those who have served our country, who have given their lives. And Father, we just pray that your spirit would just continue to grant grace and peace to those that are grieving, even through armed forces, those challenges. But Lord God, the challenges too of what happened just a few days ago and the grieving that's taken place in those families. Lord, we pray that your spirit would be present with both of them. Lord, that you would send people that love you, that follow after you, just to be present with them and to encourage them. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you would show yourself faithful even in these hard times. We thank you for this. Again, thank you for our country as we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. And thank you for the fact that we get to pray on behalf of others and love them well. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been mentioning over the past few weeks just really the value of what it looks like to partner with the church body and with parents when it comes to discipling our kids, both through Grace Kids and GSM. And one of the neat things that we get to do is just kind of focus each week. And so we're committed to our leaders and those that invest their time and their talents to loving on kids. And so I want to show you this picture here of a bunch of pictures. What's really cool about this, like right now, what's crazy is in Grace Kids, they were challenged to memorize the books of the Bible, and whoever was able to remember it and say it in front of everybody got to throw a pie in Sarah's face. I am so glad that you're here. What we want to do is take a moment right at the outset and just praise God for really Memorial Day weekend. We think about this, but it's just praise God for those people in our country's history that have done the work of providing an opportunity for us to have a country like we have. And then also just have a prayer of grief, of weeping with those who weep, and just thinking about those of Uvalde in that situation there in South Texas, and just praying for those parents. So let's just do this together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we get to have a moment as a nation where we remember those who have served our country, who have given their lives. And Father, we just pray that your spirit would just continue to grant grace and peace to those that are grieving, even through armed forces, those challenges. But Lord God, the challenges too of what happened just a few days ago and the grieving that's taken place in those families. Lord, we pray that your spirit would be present with both of them. Lord, that you would send people that love you, that follow after you, just to be present with them and to encourage them. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you would show yourself faithful even in these hard times. We thank you for this. Again, thank you for our country as we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. And thank you for the fact that we get to pray on behalf of others and love them well. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been mentioning over the past few weeks just really the value of what it looks like to partner with the church body and with parents when it comes to discipling our kids, both through Grace Kids and GSM. And one of the neat things that we get to do is just kind of focus each week. And so we're committed to our leaders and those that invest their time and their talents to loving on kids. And so I want to show you this picture here of a bunch of pictures. What's really cool about this, like right now, what's crazy is in Grace Kids, they were challenged to memorize the books of the Bible. And whoever was able to remember it and say it in front of everybody got to throw a pie in Sarah's face. She's one of our Grace Kids coordinators for the little guys. But she has all these volunteers. And then with the littles, volunteers that serve with them. And then with G56 and with GSM, and we see these faces, but those faces really are just a picture of the body of Christ. One of the things I want you to understand, we've talked about each of us have gifts that really contribute to who we are in the body of Christ as the church. One thing I want you to know is that the crazy thing about gifts is that each of us have a limit, a boundary. We can only serve and give so far. And what we need is one another to be able to contribute to make the gaps filled for the whole. And so I just want you to know that these people are there and we're grateful for them. And just know, prayerfully consider what it would look like for you to be part of this upcoming year and serving as well. So we're just grateful for them. And so we want to praise God for these people just real quick. Lord Jesus, we thank you for those in our Grace Kids and GSM departments that really do the extra. They show up early, Lord God, sometimes they leave late. And they invest and pray for our young people. Lord God, we couldn't do what we do without them. And we just praise you for them. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to just for a minute, just talk about some of the lessons I have learned in life. And usually my greatest lessons are in the car. I've spent a lot of time driving in ministry and stuff like that. And so I've learned a lot of great lessons in life. One thing is, there is an LA in California, and there's another one in the Southeast. And both of them are LA, and they are not the same. So driving in Lower Alabama is not like driving in Los Angeles. So I learned that. And another thing I learned that's really important is that there is spiritual discipline to be had with riding with different people who drive differently. One thing I've learned, sometimes you're praying in the car, you're teaching your kids how to drive, and you are like trying to find a way as a sidewinder, right, to just get out of the car while they're driving. So there's prayer there. And so I want to just pray for those moments. And so sometimes people just help you pray. And then sometimes people use less fingers when they wave at you. Well, that's different. One thing we've got to learn that's important too is that the low fuel light, it means that you need to get gas. Unless that is, you're trying to get all your steps in on your Fitbit. So you're totally up to you though. One thing I have learned with driving, and I've shared this a while back, and this is important. My mother-in-law is here, so I get to share this story because she's part of it. So about 20 years ago, Aaron and I were part of this ministry. We were driving across the country, and we were on our way back. We were in Arizona, and we had this thing where we would, I would sleep in the back of the van, Aaron would drive, and then we would stop and have these little Gatorade powders and get water from the gas station and get gas and then move on to the next place on our way back to Los Angeles. And so we were doing that. I was asleep in the back. Aaron was going to go in and do that, be cool. It's awesome. Super great. And so this is driving, right? So she gets out to go do that. And I say, hey, I'm going to get out and use the bathroom. She didn't hear me. She goes in, gets the Gatorade, comes back into the van, gets in the van. I went to the bathroom, and as I'm walking out of the gas station in this remote area, we have one cell phone between us at the time, and there was a thing called roaming back then. And so she's driving off on the on-ramp, and I run as fast and far as I could, and I realize this isn't going to work out. And so so what I do is I get to a place of humility, and I'm like, okay, I'll call the phone. And so I called the cell phone. She saw that it was ringing. She didn't recognize the number. It was roaming. She's going to wait. So I left her a voicemail, just in case, you know. And so she's waiting, in the meantime. So what I also did, which was a really good thing, is I was like, you know what? It's Sunday morning. They're a couple hours ahead of where we are. I'm going to call my mother-in-law, and she's going to help me out of this situation. So I call her, and she's great. She does. She takes it, and she's talks me off the ledge. And then she calls Aaron for me as well. Again, it's roaming, so Aaron's not answering. And then finally, after she gets out of roaming, she looks at the phone and listens to the voicemail and says, oh, that's Lewis. He's not here. And then, it seemed faster for her, but it seemed like a long time for me. So that was one of the smoothest conversations we ever had once she came and picked me up. So I know what it's like to be left behind. Moral of the story. But I say this because one of the things we have learned in these parables is God is really like in these moments, in these stories that Christ uses. And he helps us see the characteristics and the value of the kingdom of God, but also some of the ways that we should rightly respond. And so one of the things I want us to walk through, just in review, is over these past few weeks, we have looked at several parables, one of which is the different types of soil. And we have to examine our heart when we look at that, right? We have to think about, is my heart like that of a rocky soil? Is it along the path where birds are eating, or just the cares of the world and the thorns that are choking it out? Or do I have a soil that responds right to the gospel call that he called me to as a disciple? Or we saw the next week this parable of the ultimate treasure, right? The hidden treasure. And the thing that Kyle did a great job of really framing for us that I really appreciate is he helped us see this, that value is determined by what you're willing to give up for. Value is determined by what you're willing to give up for something. And is Christ that value for you? And then the next week, we were able to just really unpack God's grace and mercy towards us and just really the economy that happens in God's grace and mercy towards us. And it really should lead us to be people who show that grace and mercy towards others in forgiveness. And then we dealt with grace and humility. Like, how do we respond with grace and humility and just grateful for opportunities where God's mercy shows up instead of showing entitlement? I don't know if you've ever been around anybody that's entitled. And then finally, last week, we dealt with three types of people that respond to Jesus' invitation. The people that are just too busy, the people that are unprepared, and then the group that we want to be is the unlikely. Those that may not have the pedigree, may not know the most, may not be the most spiritual, but by God's grace, we've been invited to feast with the King. Today, we're looking at this unique parable because it's coming on the heels of a conversation that Jesus has just had with his disciples. He just walked out of the temple, and he lets them know that, man, this is going to be flipped upside down. There's going to be a destruction of this. And that happens, you know, 4 decades later. You know, basically the destruction of Jerusalem takes place. But Jesus is also talking about a future time beyond this. And his disciples ask him, like, how will we know when this is going to happen and when you will return? And Jesus talks about a few things, but one key thing that he mentioned is that no one knows the day or the hour. And here are some things that he told them. He says, look, there will be people who are claiming to be me, or they have a message they say they're getting from me. Just know that's not me. And these people will lead a lot of people astray. He lets them know, too, that there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, and that there are going to be famines and earthquakes. There's going to be lawlessness, and it will continue just to increase. He says, but one great thing is that the gospel will continue to make its way to the ends of the earth. And it's with that in mind that he begins to give a couple of parables. One of them we've heard before, the parable of the talents. But today with this one, it's the parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids. And so if you'll look with me in Matthew 25, we're going to really unpack this here. Matthew 25, verse 1, Jesus says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. So Jesus gives his parable, and then he looks to his followers, and he says to them, watch, be prepared, therefore. You neither know the day or the hour. It is really difficult to read a parable like this and not kind of like wince a little bit. To think, am I prepared? Because really, there's this incredible picture here. And what Jesus is doing is he's using a common practice for weddings. And in our day, our weddings look nothing like this. I went to one yesterday, way different than this, thankfully. And it was beautiful, beautiful bride, beautiful groom. I mean, he was awesome, looked great. Bow tie, that's what I'm talking about. Looked great, but a few things about it. For them, what would happen is they're basically, the processional welcoming, they would escort the newly married couple from the bride's home to a great banquet at the bridegroom's home. It would be basically a picture of taking her to her new place of residence. And it would happen at some unspecified time, and they wouldn't know it'd be part of this because when they were ready, they had already kind of made things legal with the vows and such. And so what would happen is they would have these torches that would light the way in the darkness. And so they needed to have the oil ready to light the way. And what's great is this really is an incredible picture of the church being united with Christ. And so what's going to happen one day, those who are in Christ, which is the bride of Christ, will be called to meet the bridegroom in the air. And for eternity, we will rest with him. And some of the key principles here that I want you to catch from this parable is that you need to be ready. Like, it's not an option. You always need to be prepared. And the second thing, and this is a powerful thing for many of us, is that being spiritually prepared cannot be transferred to another individual. Like, my faith cannot save my wife. Our faith cannot save our kids. You can't rest on the parents' faith that you had, or the grandparents. You can't rest on their faith. And so it's important that we see how valuable it is that we make sure that the gospel preparation doesn't just happen for us, but for those around us. This distinctive here, this warning of this parable, cautions those of us who are disciples to understand that this is something, it's a cost to follow Jesus. So what does this mean for us? We need to be prepared. And what we do, the way that we're prepared for this is receiving the gift of salvation. Salvation brought by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we trust in that and have faith, place our faith in this. And that is the condition. So it's not about our good works, because all our good works stacked on top of one another compared to the righteousness of God is filthy rags. So it's not our good works. They won't save us. It's only what Christ has accomplished. The other thing, too, that we learn from this is that your good intentions don't matter. And again, like I said, the faith of your parents will not be applied to you, and your faith will not be applied to your kids. Your faith will not be applied to your neighbors. It will not be applied to your coworkers, to your friends. And this is why it's vital that we make sure that not only see this for ourselves, but sense the urgency of those around us. Yes, Christ is returning. Yes, any of us could die at any moment. We could die in our sleep. So why would we waste any moment of sharing this good news that we know with others? So there may be a delay, but it may happen with urgency. One of the things that has really encouraged me in this process is there's actually a way to know if you're prepared. Because some of us think, well, I think I'm prepared. I just don't know. Here's a way that you can find out. We see this in Scripture. Here's a test to know if you're prepared for the return of Christ. If you've ever experienced a moment of crisis, where maybe it's a trial or setback or suffering in your life, and you responded with like, uncommon faith, uncommon resolve, and joy in the midst of that, then you're prepared. Because what you see in that moment is that Christ has already redeemed you. Nothing's going to shake you. Nothing's going to take you from the anchor that you found in Christ. You're good to go. But if you experience a crisis or a setback or a struggle, and you're grasping for all these solutions, and you just feel caught off guard, and you don't know what to do, you're probably not ready. So there is God's grace, God's mercy in those moments of revealing your heart in a moment of crisis before it's the moment of crisis, either the reckoning of your life or his return. So you want to just think about this. Is there preparation or is there going to be desperation? And what causes us to be unprepared? Like, what are the things that get in the way of us trusting and being ready for the return of Christ or him calling us? You think about that actor just a few days ago that died in his sleep. We never know. And so here are some things. One thing is that sometimes we're unprepared because we're distracted. You ever had something you needed to do? And you know you needed to do it, but you just got distracted by other things? In real talk, some of the things we get distracted by aren't bad things. You know, hey, I'm supposed to take care of my family. I'm doing these things. But I just get distracted for what God's called me to. But sometimes we do get distracted by boneheaded things. We want to make sure we watch every time that SportsCenter is on, even though it's the same thing I just watched an hour ago, right? We want to make sure, you know what? I've got to see every one of those Netflix episodes tonight, and we get distracted. Or maybe, you know what? We get distracted because our pride says, you know what? We can wait. We can wait for this. You know what? I will trust Christ. You know, when I get to this phase of life, when I accomplish these things, when I get to go my bucket list and do all those things, then I will trust him. And that's pride. And we get distracted by pride. Or sometimes it's the busyness of our plans. I mean, some of us, if you look at your calendars, you think, holy moly, I have no free time, no downtime. I need a vacation for my vacation. It was busy the entire time. One of the things that's been crazy for Aaron and I of this past few months is we're preparing for the launching of one of our kids. We've kind of in our minds emotionally processed it. And so we're like, we're ready to grieve. But our other kids, we have five of them, so that'll really mess up your grieving opportunities. So we've been so focused on the other five kids as well and their schedules that we haven't had a chance to even think about the fact that one of them's leaving us. And what happens is some of us are like that. Like our schedules are so full, and some of the things they're full of are great things, but they're so busy that we forget why we exist, why we were made. And so there's these challenges, and this thought really came to mind in James 4, verses 13 through 14. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. And then he asks the question, what is your life? And then he says, for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Your life is short. Compared to eternity, it's a mist. It's funny. I don't know if you've ever had just bedhead. Not really my problem anymore, but my sons, when they wake up and they're about to go off to school and they've got bedhead big time, we've got this giant spray bottle of water right before they walk out of the door to spray it and kind of a little bit, because they don't like us, you know, spitting in our hands and wiping it down. It's a weird thing for them. But there's that mist. And that's your life. The problem is you think that you've got all the opportunity in the world, but today could be the day. We never know. So it's important to be prepared. One thought that really rocked me, I read this quote this week. It says this, if you're not prepared, it's not pressure that you feel, it's fear. If you're not prepared, it's not pressure that you feel, it's fear. You ever had that when you realize you got a test the next day, but you have done no studying? It's not pressure, that's fear. And this is one of those real things. So what I want us to do, just kind of for a moment, let's just pause and process. Are you ready? Like really ready? Have you had moments of crisis and you've been exposed and you're like, I know I don't know. Are you ready for Christ to return? Or are you ready to meet him? Because you never know. And it's worth taking a moment and just pausing and saying, Lord, what is it that maybe I'm distracted? Maybe I'm just too prideful. Maybe I'm just too busy. And just asking that question. And then on the other side is, it's like, Lord, who in my life have I been making excuses about going to talk to about what you've done? Who is it? Is it a family member? Is it one of my kids? Is it a cousin? Is your neighbor or a friend that I just have kind of like made excuses for ever going and sharing the truth that would transform their life? Like, who is it? I don't want to make things awkward at work, so I don't want to say anything there. And we've got this reality that we can't control, that either Christ will come, it says like a thief in the night, or it'll be a moment where he just calls you home then. Are you ready? It should drive urgency. It should get you to a place where you feel the Spirit of God grabbing you ever so gently by the shoulders just to get your attention enough to say, yes, or I need to do something about it. And I want to encourage you. I hope that you see the encouragement here is that maybe today's the day you say, you know what? I want to do something about it. Whether in my life or I want to make sure that people around me know what he's done. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for your kindness, for the mercy you have displayed, Lord God, that you would send your son to redeem and ransom a wretch like me, like us. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would so just drive deep in our hearts a preparedness, a readiness, Lord God, to meet you. Lord God, that we would have no shame, that we would come fully because of you, what you've done. And Lord God, in the same way that we would feel this urgency and importance to share with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors, our co-workers, Lord God, those that you've placed in our life, the reality of what you've done, that they need to know too. Lord, we thank you for this. We place our trust and hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and pray with us.